This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
We were just a short while ago chatting to Prof Dion all the way from Amsterdam. Now somebody from the Netherlands visiting us here in beautiful South Africa is Bert de Reiter. Bert is joining us here from where he's staying out in Tableview. And he's from Sharing Lives Ministries. Bert, good morning. Great having you along.
Good morning.
Yeah, lovely having you with us here in Cape Town. So I know you're called a bridge builder as the head of Sharing Lives Ministry. Before we get to the bridge building part, I'd love to find out more about Sharing Lives, a ministry we don't know much about here in Cape Town.
Right. Well, Sharing Lives is actually taken from a Bible verse. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2:8. He writes, and I use my own words now, that he said, "We love you so much that we were willing to share not only the gospel with you, but our lives as well, because you have become so dear to us." So that verse has become instrumental in actually in a slight change in my ministry towards Muslims, with a focus on sharing lives. So in the context there, Paul says, "We love you so much. Yes, we share the gospel. Yes, that's great. But sharing our lives, and sharing our lives sometimes is taken separate from sharing the gospel for most people, for many people, also for me in my early days. And I had to learn that actually sharing gospel and sharing lives need to be incorporated together. And that's basically has become my ministry and that of my wife. And we're trying to encourage others along the same path. That's basically the foundation or the challenge for sharing lives.
Yeah, Bert, when it comes to different groups, I mean, we've experienced it here in South Africa. It happens all around the world. There's this us and them sort of mentality. And the same for us. Yes. We are Christians and they are Muslims. It's us and them. I mean, you're considered a bridge builder. I mean, for you to get to a point to say, I actually want to have a ministry that involves these different communities, that it doesn't feel like a us and them, but more of an us kind of a situation.
Yeah. I mean, of course, we have a different religion.
Sure.
But at the same time, we share a common humanity. We get to know each other. We see they are, some people have the same dreams or the same anxieties than everyone else has. So there's a lot more of us than us versus them. And I would like to concentrate on the us because that helps us to be more instrumental, or even also to incorporate who we are as a believer, as Jesus Christ, as followers of Jesus, in our relationship with other people. And often we make evangelism or sharing about our faith into an activity instead of into a relational thing. And we need to learn more about the them, and then we realize the them is very much similar to us in many ways. And of course there are differences, huge differences. But it's easier to talk about the differences once you have established some common ground between you.
How well received are these kinds of conversations? Because I'm sure at some point you're sharing the gospel with the Muslim communities when it's appropriate to do so. I mean, how well is that received? Yeah. I mean, from a European context, one imagines it could be very tricky, but that's an uneducated opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's often also for Muslims quite hard sometimes to share lives with Christians. Many people like to stay within their own communities, have their own circle of friends. And that's the same for us as it is for them. And to cross that bridge is not easy, nor for them, nor for us. And once we begin to do that, we discover there are many links that link their faith to our faith, and then even the smallest conversations can become witnessing opportunities, so that we can, instead of saying, well, wait a minute, now I'm going to share you the gospel, let's quote John 3:16, for instance, you can incorporate our faith in Jesus, saying, well, oh yeah, last night I had this terrible experience and I prayed to God about this and God answered my prayer. How about your prayers? And have you ever heard God answer your prayers? So you have these kind of conversations, which are far less of a shooting back and forth of spiritual arrows, so to speak, and far more of an interesting conversation of mutual similarities.
It's great to have you visiting us here in South Africa. What was the purpose of your trip to come through here and visit?
Well, actually, to help Christians here to grow into this mindset of sharing our lives with their Muslim friends, but it could be for anyone for that matter. Because often I find that we as Christians like to, well, maybe it's because of whatever reasons, we stay within our own hub, our own circle of friends, our own communities, and we talk about them or we even pray for them, whatever the them are. Instead of just finding connections to say, okay, how can we actually bridge those, step over those bridges? I would like to share some of my experiences in Europe for the past 30 or so years with some of the churches here in Cape Town and also in Hermanos, where I will be going to next week.
Yeah, that's going to be beautiful. This is quite a tricky thing that you're doing because we very much are in our little cliques or in our little groups and we lager together, as we say in South Africa. You know, we're like-minded people, particularly when it comes to our faith. This idea of being more integrative, I mean, it's quite an intentional thing. It won't just necessarily just happen by itself. Yes, we all have different, we all have friends that perhaps aren't believers or from a different religious group. I mean, we could probably all tell a story like that, but to intentionally integrate our lives with lives of other people, I mean, that really can take some doing and can also be a bit uncomfortable.
It can be, because it actually, everything, all of a sudden, your whole life becomes part of your testimony. I mean, if you go out on the streets to evangelism, for instance, or on marketplace, you can share the gospel, you can hand out gospel tracts, and your own life at that moment can be a mess, can be totally wrong, you can be at odds with some of your friends, you can have just had a fight with your wife, for instance. All those things can happen, but once you begin to share lives, I mean, all of a sudden, everything is part of your testimony. So the way I have had Muslim colleagues, I was an employer for a while for Muslims, so that the way I deal with money, the way I deal with conflict, the way I deal with all kinds of stuff, as a Christian, so every time wherever I go, whatever I do, it's seen as being in connection with my faith in God. And yeah, that can be scary, because then all of a sudden I say, wait a minute, it's not just one part of my life, it's the whole area of my life, everything. So yes, that can be scary, because it actually confronts us with maybe compartmentalization of our own lives, where we have a Christian part and we have something that we say, well, I hope God doesn't show too much because he's not really invited that part. Once we begin to share lives, there is no compartmentalization. Everything is part of the same thing. And I think that's a healthy way of Christian living. But it's a challenge. It's a challenge. And it also can mean that your own struggles, like I have my own struggles in my own Christian life, which I can share with my Muslim friends. And I have them to say, well, yes, but we will pray for you as I will be praying for them. So in that sense, it makes you, you become vulnerable, even your weaknesses. But even those weaknesses can become an instrument to show some of the strength of God and the grace of God in your own life.
Yeah, what would the ultimate purpose be? Would it be to get people to say, wow, there's something really different about this man or this family or this woman, and we'd love to know more about the God in whom you trust? Is it that sort of a journey that you're hoping for?
Sure. Yes, absolutely. No, it's my desire that Muslims come to faith in Jesus as the only Savior of the world. But the process towards that can be a long process. It needs to take away prejudices they may have towards Christians or towards the West or towards whatever that happens in the name of Christianity, as we have prejudice against them, everything that happens in the name of Islam. So yes, but ultimately that's the goal. But the steps towards that can take long. I've compared myself or the kind of ministry that I'm involved with a bit plowing a field. Before you actually begin to sow the seed, you need to plow the field. Because the stones that may have been in the ground, or the ground has been too hard for actually the rain to go in, or the sprouts to come out. So before you actually can do anything, you need to plow, and then you can begin to sow, and then afterwards you can begin to harvest. And people like to harvest. Everyone likes to harvest. But of course, the process before the harvesting can be hard, can be discouraging sometimes even. Above my desk in my office, I have a picture of a plow, And I consider myself being a plow. And not everyone is, I think, called to be a plow. Some are called to be harvesters. Others are called to be seed sowers. And I happen to be called to be a plower. So that as a preparation ground for the next to come up. And to see in that process, you're part of the same team. It's my desire to see Muslims come to faith in Jesus. Someone else may take on whatever I've left off. So we are part of the same team. And God deals with, gives everyone its role in that particular team.
Yeah, I love that. Thanks for that. For someone who understands this well, I really love to just wrap up our time together looking at the current unrest in the Middle East with the death of the Ayatollah. And it seems to be the cause of massive renewed division in the Middle East. How do you think what has happened where there's where they're looking and saying, oh, America, a Christian nation, Israel, a Jewish nation, and now Iran, Islamic nation, what kind of effect can that have on the Christian witness in the region?
Oh, that can have a big impact, I guess. I mean, at one side, you see Muslims that are discouraged in the way fundamentalist Muslims are creating unrest. So in that sense, some Muslims are happy that they get rid of some of the aggressive perpetrators of aggression. At the same time, on the other side, there is a lot of people say, well, yeah, but there is this dualism among Christians. Israel is now doing these things in Iran, but at the same time, they have been killing so many Palestinians, including Christians, actually, but anyway, Muslims. So it causes more division. Polarization is increasing, and even on Facebook, some of my Muslim friends they are supportive of Iran and against America and against Israel, or against Christians in general, because they say, well, the America is Christian, Christians are supporting Israel. Which means Christians are not, they are just hypocritical because they do one thing in one place and they do another thing in another place. So yes, it's making our lives as bridge builders, at one side, it becomes more necessary to have people like us who are standing in the middle, so to speak. At the same time, it's harder because we have to overcome the prejudices, of Jews, towards Muslims, or Muslims towards Jews, or Muslims towards Christians. Christians towards Muslims, and all it becomes more complex. And if the relationships have been established, in many cases, that's true for bridge building in general. If relationships have established in times of peace, so to speak, this will not harm so much in times of trouble, because they say, well, okay, something bad is happening, but between us, it's still good. But if there have not been building peaceful relationship between groups or between people before the conflict, a conflict is not going to help. In fact, the conflict makes it worse. So we have to, as someone says, we have to repair the house when the sun is shining, prepare the leaks of the roof when the sun is shining. Once in time in conflict, it's almost like impossible to begin, because that's like, it's the broken. So yeah, it's complex. It can be hard. It can be difficult. I don't think we need to give up, because in a sense, and I think that's what I encourage Christians, we need to share the gospel in a way that is in agreement with the content of the gospel. So grace, gracious, and we speak about the love, the God of love, the God of righteousness, and our way of doing that, the way we share this, need to be done in agreement with the content. So at this particular moment, we can also sympathize sometimes with the victims, whether the victims are Israeli victims, Jewish, Palestinians, Iranians, Americans, Omanis, whatever. We should not take sides, say, well, the one victim is worse than the other victim, or the tears of a Palestinian woman are as wet as the tears of a Jewish woman, so to speak. And as Christians, I believe we need to find a way to step up one step, basically saying, let's pray for peace, let's pray for righteousness, let's not choose sides if we can avoid it as much as possible, and let us find a way to, even in the midst of chaos, find a way to reach out to our Muslim friends, or if we don't have any, begin to build some of those relationships, so that we can actually say, okay, this happened, maybe American did this or whatever, but it was not in my name. I'm a different kind of Christian, or I want to make peace instead of war, or something like that. I mean, it's. But it, yes, the complex, the political situation has made our lives complex. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
so we have to pray for peace and for reconciliation somehow.
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking earlier on with Prof Dion around purpose. And here's somebody who understands his purpose as a bridge builder between Christians and Muslims out in Europe. Also a plow. And that makes us realize we also have a purpose. And it's for us to find what that purpose is and to move in that purpose and allow God to use us to accomplish the things that he set out for us to do. Even if you say, that's not a very glamorous thing, a plow. Well, when you try and be a farmer without a plow and you see how far you get. What a pleasure to say thanks to Bertha Reiter from Sharing Lives Ministries. And enjoy your time here in South Africa, in the Western Cape. Thanks for your time this morning. Thanks for your passion and your expertise. We bless you and your ministry. And say massive thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Blessings. Yeah, it's our absolute pleasure.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.